Hello, and thank you for tuning to Fire and Rain Ministries, where fire purges and rain washes. Today, we have an exciting word to share with you from Apostle Allison J. Cross, and we know that you will be encouraged by what you hear. So sit back and relax, and remember, she has a word for you from the Word.
Hello and praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you so much for coming back in today to our weekly Bible study here at Fire and Rain Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Allison J. Cross. And I tell you what, it has been a pleasure and a joy to do Bible study. We're talking about the book of Ezekiel. Right now we are on Ezekiel chapter 6. And I tell you what, it's been a very interesting journey with Ezekiel. A lot of times, you know, we just read right through stuff and not really knowing what we're reading, but we just keep on going. But it's important to literally break down the book of Ezekiel and any book that we're reading, actually, so that we can get a full understanding of what we're reading. We don't want to just read and assume we know what we're talking about. It's important to go into the Word of God. It's important to not only go into it, but break down those words, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic, and see what they really mean, so that we won't just take a word and make an assumption as to what that word means. And then we're assuming a whole passage of scripture based on what we think, and then we could get it wrong. So we want to make sure that we are doing what we need to do as far as studying. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you and praise you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, because you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I've been excited. I'm excited about the word. How about you guys? I tell you what, the word of God will change your life. If you need a change in your life, get into the word, let it get into you, and let it begin to change your life. Everybody say, I need a life change. And if you are not in Christ, yes, we need a life change. So we're in Ezekiel chapter 6, and we're going to move forward. Just to let you know, next week we will not have Bible study. I have to be somewhere next weekend, so I won't be able to do Bible study, but I will have something provided for you guys. So in Ezekiel, when we move to chapter 6, moving forward and studying, what we're going to look at, the consequences of God's judgment against Judah and Jerusalem. Because remember, in the past Bible studies, they were showing out. They were doing the most, as people say. So last week in chapter 5, the Lord, we explained that the Lord, we looked at the consequences that will come against the people in the city. And we learned a couple of things. We learned that 2/3 would die, but 1/3 would be exiled. And from amongst these groups, the Lord promised to preserve a remnant out of those that were exiled. Okay. How many know that we're the remnant? And when we look at modern day, what's going on in the world, what's going on with everything, we are the remnant. You know, I wrote a song years ago called God's Remnant. Prophetess Debbie, I don't know if you remember that song, but I did a song called, wrote and recorded it. It was called God's Remnant. And I'm going to have to re-release that song because it is so fitting for today. I wrote that song probably 25 years ago. Some of the words, we are God's remnant, chosen to do his will. You know, we want to build up the body of Christ. But nowadays you see all type of foolishness going on, not only in the body, but in many churches and whatnot. And so we have to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do. Amen. We want to do what God called us to do. So there was a remnant out of those that were killed and those that were exiled. God still had a remnant, and that remnant still experienced the earthly judgment, since those judgments were required by the old covenant, which bound all of Israel. So thank God we are not under the old covenant. Thank God that Jesus came and fulfilled the law, so that when somebody else do something, we're not getting the smackdown because of what they did. Now, if you want to be disobedient and you want to be saved, but you want to run in the wrong camp with the wrong people, you will experience some of what they got going on. Why? Because you are not where you're supposed to be. And I'm going to say this again, like I said last week, if God has called you to a place, don't be trying to leave where God has called you because you feel a shando in your spirit or somebody prophesied to you that it's time for you to go. You better stay where God has planted you until you know that God has spoken to you and God has spoken to your leader that it's time to go. When I left the church that I served at for many years, I actually went to my pastor and had a conversation. I let him know that, hey, you know, I'm feeling a tug in my spirit to start a ministry. And I left with my leader's blessing. I left with his blessing and I left the right way. Don't just run out of somewhere because you're not getting your way. Because if you run out of somewhere because you can't get your way, you're going to get away all right. It's going to be a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, it causes it leads to destruction. So we want to make sure that whatever we do it decently and in order. But going back to Ezekiel, you know, today the Lord addresses the consequences to the, in the land of Israel, and specifically the Lord explains how he would bring judgment against the high places of idolatry in Israel. And so back then, it was a lot of stuff going on. They had, you know, idols, they had high places. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 1, and let's start reading there, okay? And get your Bibles. I hope you came with your sword. Get your Bible. I'm going to take a sip of tea. One moment. Yummy. Okay, green tea. All right, Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 1, we'll start there. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face towards the mountain of Israel and prophesy against them and say, mountains of Israel, listen to the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the ravines, and the valleys. Behold, I myself am going to bring a sword on you and I will destroy your high places. So here God is saying, you know what? Look up at those mountains. Look at those high places. Look at the ravines. Look at the hills. I am going to destroy your high places. And today, and I'm going to go on with the reading of the scripture, but today we need to do a introspective look and say, God, have I built up any high places in my life? Is there anything in my life that I'm exalting above your will in my life? We have to really, really begin to look at it and say, God, help me. And it goes on to say in 6:4, so your altars will become desolate and your incense altars will be smashed. And I will make your slain fall in front of your idols. Wow. You know, when I was reading that, when I was studying, I said, wow, it just kind of reminded me when you go back, I believe it's in the book of 1 Samuel, when the Ark of the Covenant, they put the Ark of the Covenant in the same room or temple with the fish god, and it fell over in the arms and it broke, the things broke off of it. And it was, you know, only the middle part left, you know, and it kept falling over. But it just kind of reminds, you know, nothing can stand in front of the will of God. If God wants something done, he will make sure it gets done. He will definitely make sure. Okay, in verse 5, I will also slay the dead bodies of the sons of Israel in front of their idols, and I will scatter your bones around your altars. Yikes. Verse 6, in all of your dwellings, cities will become waste and the high places will become desolate, that your altars may become waste and desolate. Your idols may be broken and brought to an end. Your incense altars will be cut down and your works may be blotted out. The slain will fall among you and you will know that I am the Lord. Now, wow, that's a mouthful. All of this desolation, all of this stuff is going to go on because the simple fact that people want to exalt the idols and burn incense and raise up all these altars to the idol worship and the gods of Baal instead of worshiping God. But God is saying, you know what? I'm going to tear it down. I am going to tear it down. You know, and God has the right to do that because he is the Lord God. So when you look at this, you know, these are the things that were going to happen. So the Lord asked him to speak to the, Ezekiel to speak to the people plainly. So nevertheless, Ezekiel is still delivering his message, the message that God gave him. Ezekiel is told to turn and face the direction of Israel. in the first part, so that as he delivers that prophecy, he's speaking as if he's addressing the mountains themselves. Because when you go back in the first part of that scripture, he was looking at the mountains, and that's where all of the drama was going on. And so, but as we see, the Lord isn't, he's not angry at the land itself. He's promising to destroy the high places that were on the land. So when he's telling Ezekiel to prophesy to the mountains, he's talking about those high places, those things that the children of Israel has put in the place of God. And so, you know what? We have to make sure that we are not putting things in the place of God, that every high thing, everything in our lives that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, we want to tear it down, right? Amen. We want to tear it down. And so when you look at a high place is any place, when we're talking about the book of Ezekiel here, the Canaanites, a high place is any place of Canaanite idol worship, and particularly of sacrifice. Okay. So when Israel entered the promised land under Joshua, the land was occupied. You guys remember that if you go back and read, you'll see that that land was occupied, but the occupants had been judged by God as worthy of destruction because they were idol worshipers. And the Lord told Abraham centuries earlier that a day would come when his descendants would receive the Canaanite land. And so this would happen when the Lord's, his patience had run out and it was over with the Canaanites, and sin had literally reached its limit. It was at the boiling point. The cup was running over. The wrath was being spilled out. And so we have to look and say, God, I don't want to test you like that. I don't want to frustrate your grace. I don't want, you know, all that was going on because I don't want to get rid of what's in my life that's going against your will. I don't want to be set up for destruction. Again, the Bible says that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end, and let me get that scripture. If Prophetess Debbie, if you are on Facebook, if you can put that scripture in there. And I believe that is Proverbs 14:12. If you can post that for me. Thank you. But yeah, so the Lord is saying, get it together, people. Get it together. When you look at, go back to Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 16. It says, now when the sun was gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. God said to Abram, know for certain. One second. He said, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in the land that's not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years, but I will also judge the nation whom they serve. Okay. And afterwards they will come out with many possessions. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you will be buried at a good old age. Then the fourth generation will return there, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not complete. Verse, then drop down to 15:18. On that day, the Lord made covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land, for the river of Egypt, as far as the great river Euphrates. And verse 15:19-21, the Kenite, the Kenizzite, the Kadamite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. So the Lord promised Abraham fourth generations of descendants will occupy Canaan. You know, isn't that an awesome promise when God promises us something that we're going to occupy? We're going to occupy, and that's a good thing. Hallelujah. It's a good thing. He will help us. Now, the Lord promised that, again, that the fourth generation of the descendants will occupy the land of Canaan. But remember, before they could take possession of that land, they had to displace and destroy those Canaanite inhabitants. They had to. What is the Lord asking us today to displace and destroy? We want to get rid of everything that is not like God in our life. We have to displace all of that learned behavior, those things, you know, that the Lord doesn't want us doing or saying. We have to make sure that we're not doing that and that we don't have anything in our spirit that's contrary to the word of God. And when we identify it, we have to make sure that, hey, you know what? If this is going on in my life, if something is going on in my life, I need to make sure that it's lining up with the word of God. If not, it got to go. It has got to go. And we have to make sure that it's out of there. We don't want to just keep stuff rolling around. We have to get it out of us. Now, the people, when you look at the people that were in Canaan, what were they? They were idolaters. They were idolaters, and they committed a lot of sin for a long time, for a great many centuries. But when their iniquity was complete, as the Lord said to Abram, they will come to an end. You know, I don't ever, ever, ever want to get to the point to where something is going on in my life and it's going on so long, the Lord has said, I've had enough. You are not, you know, and it's done. So we want to make sure that we keep our lives right before the Lord. And of course, nobody's perfect. We are not perfect. The only one that's perfect is the Lord, the Father, and he's in heaven. But as we go, as we stay in the word, as we do a self-examination of ourselves, God will reveal and show us what we need to deal with. He really will. He'll show us what we need to deal with. But in the years that followed, the people of Israel failed to heed the Lord's command to defeat the Canaanites and possess the land. They failed to do that. And as a result of them, the nation found itself side by side with the idolatry and the evil practices of the Canaanite people. You know, that reminds me of how, remember when, you know, I always say, if you don't have an influence on someone to the point to where they are coming to your side in the kingdom, they may influence you to do wickedness on their side. So we have to be careful of that. We have to really, really be careful of that. So that, you know, reminded me that we have to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do at all times and don't be overtaken. Remember what happened with Lot? He got up in that city, him and Abraham, that was Abraham's nephew, and their herdsmen got into it. They couldn't get along. And so Abraham, he was like, you know what? I'm not going to trip with you. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Just take whatever land you want and go ahead. Go on about your business. So what did Lot do? He went and took and chose the best looking land, which was Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he went there. He bedded down. He made his abode in the city. And it ended, you know the story. He had to be rescued out of the very place where he chose to be. And, you know, thank God for mercy. It was God's mercy that rescued him. How many of us know it's God's mercy that rescues us out of stuff? And so they were in it for a whole lot of years. And again, you know, the people of Israel, they didn't heed the Lord's command to defeat the Canaanites and possess land. They didn't do that. So as a result, again, that nation found itself living side by side with the idolatry and the evil Canaanite people. And over time, the people adopted the idols that the Canaanites were worshiping. Now, here we are supposed to be doing what God said. But in fact, they ended up doing the wrong thing. They ended up doing what God didn't want them to do. They ended up worshiping the idols just like the Canaanites. Why? Because they didn't displace them. They did not get them out of the city. They didn't displace them. Anytime you leave something in you and you have identified that it's something in you that you need to be delivered from, or you need to get out of you, but you say, oh, it's not so bad, I'm just going to leave it here. Oh, I'm not so bad. You know, God is okay with that. No, he's not. Because God knows that those little foxes that are in our spirit, if they're not dug up, if they're not eradicated, they will literally spoil the vine. That is what happened to the Israelites. This is what happened in this, you know, in the book of Ezekiel. They went And over time, they adopted the idols of the Canaanites, and they substituted idol worship for the worship of the true God of Israel. So anytime that we begin to allow things or accept things or say, oh, well, it's okay, we are literally adopting things of the world and saying it's okay in the church. Thank God I have sat under some awesome leaders. I thank God. From the time I was 10 years old up until now, God has always had me under leaders that were for righteousness and holiness for real. First pastor that I sat under, Pastor William McPhail, who's going on to be up with the Lord. Awesome man of God, awesome teacher of the word, you know, stood for holiness. I sat under Reverend Gordon Lilly, awesome man of God. I mean, now he was a stickler for the word and holiness, you know, and then I sat under Pastor Robert Johnson, awesome man of God, him and his wife, Miss Lois, and now I sit under Apostle Amanda Bryant. So, but all of these leaders that God has had me under since I was 10 years old, they did not adopt the way of the world in the church. They did not adopt idol worship. They really were doing God's will for real. I mean, they weren't playing. They didn't play with God's will. It was very serious. See, when you sit under someone that takes the word of God serious and you don't see any cracks in the foundation, you don't see any junk going on, because you sit in the ministry long enough, you'll know what's going on for real. You see the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. But I can truly say, you know, and no one's perfect. I'm not saying that, but the ministries that God has allowed me to sit under have taught me, number one, stay in your word. Number two, live what you preach. Number three, and if you mess up, repent, get up, wipe yourself off, and keep it moving. Don't wallow in your sin. But see, when we go back to the Old Testament here in the book of Ezekiel, they begin to substitute idol worship for the worship of a true and living God of Israel. And that was really, really messed up. So when you look at that, the evil kings of Israel and Judah, what did they do? They set up high places across the land to encourage people to worship false gods. My God, what do we see today? We see all type of idols. People have made themselves as idols. People have set themselves up as idols. And one of the things that we have to do, we're going to tear down them idols, right? We're not going to make ourselves as an idol. We're not going to do that. We're going to make ourselves as an idol. We're going to do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. We're going to do what God has called us to do. All right. And so in that way, what else happened? Judah incorporated idol worship into the very landscape of Israel. What did they do? On the hills and mountains, on the cliffs, the ravines, by the rivers and the valleys, there were altars devoted to false gods. They literally were all over the landscape of Israel. This is what they did. And the very first of these high places were set up by the tribe of Dan during the time of Judges. You can go back and read about that. And so God was not pleased. He wanted people to worship him in spirit and in truth for real. But the people, they begin to get too close to the Canaanites. They didn't eradicate them. Then they begin to get close to the land, and they really wanted, you know, they begin to worship what they were close to. Sometimes you have to just get away from people. If people are not willing to worship the true and living God, sometimes if you're not going to be able to have them come into the kingdom and they begin to affect you negatively, what we have to do is we need to move around. A friend of mine, he used to always say, you better move around. You better move around, people. What do I mean by that? Get up out of the way. Because either you're going to affect them for the kingdom, or they're going to infect you with idol worship, with trying to be like them. And then all of a sudden, it's not about God anymore. It's about how I look. you know, how, you know, what my swag is, whatever that whole meaning is of swag. But it's all about, it becomes all about you. It becomes all about, look at me, see me. Look how beautiful I am today. Look how beautiful I am tomorrow. It becomes all about you and less about the kingdom. And we have to stay in a place where it is the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And so we have to make sure that if it's violence going on, you know, we're going to take back our territory by force. Let me find that scripture. That is found in Matthew 11, verse 12. And I'm going to post that up there. Matthew 11, verse 12. That's something that we have to look at, because the enemy is not playing these days, is he? He's not playing. Not at all. One second. I'm going to put that on the screen, Matthew. If I can spell it right. Matthew. Okay, there we go. 11, verse 12. Hallelujah. And it says, I'm going to put that on there so you guys can see that. You know, it's a lot going on. Nowadays, when you think about that scripture, think about that. Think about that scripture for a moment. Nowadays, when you see everything that is going on in the world today, sometimes you got to take your peace by force. Sometimes you say, you know what? I don't care what's going on. I am going to take it by force. I'm going to have my peace. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to, you know, get rid of everything that's stopping me, everything that's trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God in my mind, because we have to cast down vain imaginations. Had they cast down what they was thinking? Had they cast down, you know, all of this stuff that was going on to bring them into captivity of idol worship? They could have went on and did what God told them to do, but oh no, they wanted to do their thing. They wanted to do their own thing. And it goes on to say, now I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here. So they set up, they substituted the true worship of God for idol worship. They set up high places across the land. And in that way, Judah incorporated idol worship into the landscape of Israel. And when they did that, it kind of like, wow, it's everywhere now. Don't we see that going on today? Don't we see all of that type of behavior going on today? People are setting up their idol worship right on an altar in the church. I'm not going to even go into all it because everyone's seen the stuff, right? But we see so much stuff going on. It's like, where is the church for real? I tell you, just like God had a remnant in the book of Ezekiel, remember the three, you know, when he said, you know, separate your hair into three parts, the first and second part, the third part, the two parts will be killed. The third part will be taken into captivity. Within that, out of that third part, there is going to be a remnant. Well, I tell you what, today there is a remnant. There are those of us who really do love God and are really are serving him and are called according to his purpose and are doing the perfect will of God to the best of our ability. But there still are those that are in idol worship. And unfortunately, many of the houses of God are caught up in idol worship. They have become an idol unto themselves. God's going to deal with that. I don't even have to go there because God will deal with that. Okay. So in the beginning, these high places were not idol worship, but they were worships. They were places of worship for, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Yahweh or God. When you look at the tribe of Dan, had migrated far north away from their assigned territory into new lands. Everybody say, don't be migrating somewhere you don't need to be. Don't be migrating somewhere you need to be. I have a map that I wanted to post about that will show you this. I'll post it next week. But they ended up migrating. And since the people were now living so far from the tabernacle, they didn't want to make the long trip back to worship at Shiloh. See, whenever the enemy gets you to migrate away from where you're supposed to be, you may not want to make that trip back to Shiloh. You may not want to do what God has called you to do because it takes too much. It's too far. I can't drive that far. I remember when I first moved to North Carolina, and I was living in Cary, there were a lot of churches that I could have attended. There were a lot of places, but the Lord told me where to go to church, and I did. It was an hour and 45-minute drive in one direction every Sunday. So was it a challenge? Yes, it was. Was it necessary? Yes, it was. Why? Because no matter how far or wherever God has called you to, you need to be in that place. Why? Because it's in that place God has something for you. God has your stability. He has what he has. He has whatever he has for you. If you're in the right place, you'll get it. A lot of people nowadays want to migrate away from where God has called them to because it no longer fits what they want to do. It no longer fits their agenda. So whenever a person has an agenda, they'll find every excuse in the book as to why they can't get to where God has called them to be or why they leave where God has called them to be. Yeah, it may be a time or season for you to step out and do what God called you to do, but don't be leaving the wrong way. Don't leave the wrong way. Don't do that. So anyway, going on, they migrated and now they were living far away from the tabernacle. They didn't want to make a long trip back to worship in Shiloh. So what did they do? They set up a graven image of God and declared that they would worship in Dan instead. Now, over the centuries, what happened? That idea caught on. Jews who preferred not to make a long journey back to the tabernacle as required in the law set up their own high places. That's what began to happen. So we have to make sure that we're not setting up our own little high places because we don't want to go somewhere. So we find somewhere else that may be more conducive to what we want to do, how we want to worship. And, you know, sometimes in I would say it like this. Everyone, a lot of churches have their different styles of worship and how they worship and how they preach and how they do different things. And that's okay because we're all different. We receive differently, but just make sure that your style and the way that you're preaching and teaching and is full of the Holy Spirit, is directed by God. See, you get a lot of showboat. You get a lot of acting nowadays. You get a lot of play acting in the church where people are doing theatrics and they're making it sound good and look good, and it ain't even good. Sound like God, but it ain't God. No spirit. See, the spirit of God, when the word is going forth, when worship and praise is going forth, you can tell if you're in the spirit on the Lord's day, whether that's flesh or whether it's God. Many people don't know the difference because they've been so busy setting up their own high places that they don't even know that they're worshiping a false god, that they're in the midst of idol worship. Do you even know when you are in the midst of idol worship? You don't know. If you are not in the spirit on the Lord's day, you don't know when you're in the midst of idol worship. And we have to be careful of that because the enemy is crafty. The enemy is tricky. Well, I don't feel like going to church today. Well, I don't. And then one week turns into 4 weeks. 4 weeks turn into 6 weeks. Pretty soon, you ain't going to church no more. You just sitting up at the house. Now, I'm not talking about those that are not able to. I'm talking about those who are well able. And you used to find yourself in the house of the Lord every week. Every time the doors open, you were there. And then when COVID hit and it was a challenge because of the restrictions, a lot of people just fell off and never came back. You know you out of order. You know you out of order. They fell off. They never came back. They used various excuses. Well, I can get the word right here. Yeah, you can. But we don't want to forsake the assembly. We want to get around other saints and, you know, be able to have that fellowship. That is so important. But I'm going to keep on. I'm going to keep moving here. So over the centuries, The Jews, again, the Jews who preferred not to make the long journey back to the tabernacle as required in the law, set up their own high places. And soon these high places were all over the place. They were all over the land. So Jews were practicing various forms of false worship at altars on every hill, mountain, ravine, etc. So that's why when you go back and read that scripture from the top again, you'll see that. And so then other worship practices begin to change as well. See, if we're not careful, we'll start out right, but then something will begin to change. Things will begin to change, and all of a sudden they become acceptable because things begin to creep in unaware. Think about that. We talked about, I think it was either last week or the other week, on how the enemy will literally plant people in your church, in your ministry, to eventually destroy what God has set up. So we really have to be careful of those that are planted. We need to, I was teaching Sunday school, I think. It might have been Sunday school. But we have to be careful of those that are there, that are growing up. There are tares, but they're growing up with the wheat. I'm going to read this scripture. Jude 1:4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord, only the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful. We need to have our whole armor on. We really need to know what God is saying in this hour. We really do. And we need to be careful that we're not just receiving any and everybody who just come in and sound good. Oh, I can do this. I can do that for your ministry. God sent me. Okay, I'm just sitting here and watch you. I'm going to just sit here and watch you and see what's going on. That's what we have to do. We have to watch people. We have to make sure that those that we put in position are who God wants in position. So again, other worship practices begin to change as well. These worshipers were not believing Jews. They were not remnants. So their evil hearts continue to lead them astray. So one of the things they did, they already set aside the law concerning where to worship. So I'm going to move away and I'm going to worship in my own place. Okay. They set that aside. They had already did that. Okay. And it was a small step on how they changed in worshiping. See, the enemy, if he could just get in and infect your thoughts, infect your mind, cause you to have wrong thoughts against your leader and things like that, he can get you out of the fold. And then he can begin to change how you see and feel about truth and righteousness and think you need to be somewhere else. That's what happened. And so in time, what happened? They adopted the pagan gods, the gods of the Canaanite people that were living around them. And so that's why I say, men and women of God, stay where you planted until God, you know that God has moved you, and then have a conversation with your leader. But they begin to adopt the pagan gods of the Canaanite people. They went to the wrong place. So now what was happening? Altars were now being dedicated to Baal, to Molech, and other pagan idols. And so the Jews at that time agreed to be priests to these false gods. And in addition to altars, whole temples were erected to these false gods. Do we see that today? Do we see that today? We see whole temples. We see whole groups of people worshiping false gods. Well, who are the false gods of the day? The men and women who set themselves up on a pedestal as a god, and the people are running to worship them. We have to be so careful. And also false gods. We see the different type of religious sects, S-E-C-T-S, that are setting themselves up and people are joining. Now, in addition to altars, Again, the temples were being erected to the false gods. Then prostitution was practiced in these temples as a part of worship. Now, if you go back in 1 Samuel, remember Samuel's son, I believe their name were Hophni and Phinehas, and how they were priests in the temple. And what were they doing? They was having sex with the women. They were doing all type of foolishness in the temple. And what did Eli do? He just smacked them on the hand, and that was it. Now, when you go back and read the prostitution in the temples were a part of their worship. Sacrifices graduated from animals to infants. They were sacrificing animals, remember? And then when Molech and all those other gods got involved and they began to worship idols and things like that, they began to sacrifice their own children. So within a few generations, the nation's religious practices were indistinguishable from the surrounding pagan people because they had got so involved and so mixed up with what was going on, it all looked the same. As the Church of Jesus Christ today, we can't get mixed up with people and what they got going on outside of the will of God, so much so that what God has called us to do, we get so close to what they're doing, it all looked the same. It all looked the same nowadays. Think about it. Think about it. I'm going to say it again. Think about it. Do you go to church and it look like the club? Do you talk to people and leaders and they cussing and they, oops, I slipped. Men and women of God, that wasn't no slip. It wasn't no slip because it was in your heart. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm going to put that up there. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we have to be careful. We have to be careful of that. Matthew 12:34 says, brood of vipers, wow. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Now, I tell you what, that's really interesting. Let's look at that in the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, you offspring of vipers. In other words, your mama and daddy, you are offspring. That was in you when you were born. You know, we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But it says, you offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil or wicked? How? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in there, guess what? It's coming out. So if you sit up and entertain movies and shows with cussing and sexing and fornication and adultery, it's going to get in your heart. Why? Because you've given it permission. And then it's going to eventually come out of your mouth. So we have to be careful about that. We have to be so careful about that, that what's in our heart is lining up with what our lips are saying. So those practices were indistinguishable from the surrounding pagan people. It all looked alike. Why? Because they left from where they were supposed to be and ended up in a place so far that, oh, I'm too tired to go worship. Oh, I can't make it this Sunday, Pastor. I'm going to come next week, and next week never got there. Next week never got there. So I'm just going to set up my own little place right here. So when you go back and you read in Judges, let me put this on the screen. Thanks, Prophetess Debbie. When you go back and read through Judges, and also in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, you can see the idolatry in Israel. It was a progression over about 500 years. It was a progression. The enemy is so crafty and he is so slick. He ain't gonna just snatch you all at once. It'll be a progression. First, the door gets, first there's a little crack in the door. Then the door get kicked off the hinges. Then you step in, and then eventually it's a slippery slope all the way down. So when you look at different things, evil kings in the northern and southern kingdom, they embraced false worship. They embraced it. And at times, you know, in those times, a good leader might rise up to put a stop to these practices, but even then, the high places remain. And in time, whatever the Reformation was at that time, it was forgotten, and the people would return to their evil practices. So whenever God says tear something down and get rid of it, we have to tear it down and get rid of it. Don't just allow that thing to stay. If you know there's a book in your house that's dealing with, you know, something that's not supposed to be dealing with, throw it in the garbage can. But otherwise, you may be tempted to pick up and read that book. And it's contrary to the word of God. You know, God revealed himself to the nation of Israel in miraculous ways. God reveals himself to us in miraculous ways by way of healing, deliverance, setting us free, getting us to where we need to be in him, and so forth. And he revealed again to them in miraculous ways. He performed miracle after miracle, leading them out of Egypt into the promised land. How many of us have God delivered out of evil into the promised land of his dear son? He did miracles under Joshua and then the judges. He gave them the law and the feast to remember these things, right? And under Solomon, he made Israel the most powerful nation on earth. So how did they stray so far from the Lord? Remember how it started. They was in a good place, but how did this start? How did they stray? When we think about our own lives and say, God has brought me from a mighty long way, and I give him the praise, I give him the honor, I give him the glory, but then all of a sudden something happens and you begin to stray. The first place a person strays away is in their mind. And if we are not renewing our mind on a daily basis, I'm going to say that on a daily basis, it's going to be a situation. We'll begin to stray in our hearts. So remember how it started? First, they moved away from the Lord. Okay, number one, they left his presence and left his word. They left the place where they were supposed to be. Don't leave where God has called you to be. Then they begin to listen to the world's counsel and their own selfish, evil heart. They got so close to the enemy, then it began to look good. And then the rest followed naturally. The pattern has been the same. The enemy don't have any new tricks. All you got to do is go back in the Old Testament and see how things happened, how things progressed. So if you feel far from God, it's not God who moved away. It's not. If you feel like, if we feel like that, oh, I just don't feel like I used to feel in prayer. I just don't feel like I used to feel in the word. Are you in prayer and in the word? Are we meditating on the word? Are we doing what God has called us to do? God didn't move away. See, we can get out of the will on our own. We can get so caught up in people, places, things, what they're saying, what they're doing, and they shando and they shatai, and they telling you something. And yeah, well, my pastor said this, and it's not it's not going according to what the Lord said. I just don't believe. Well, you know what? We need to really begin to say, God, what is going on? Like the tribe of Daniel, people will move away from God, from spending time with God and in his word and with his people. That's what Daniel did, the tribe of Dan. They moved away from God, from spending time with God's people. And, you know, that's what happened. And then a lot of times when things begin to happen and people begin to move away from God in their spirit, they begin to justify why they did it. So before long, churches for other people. There's no attraction for the house of God anymore. It ain't for me, it's for somebody else. And so when you look at idolatry, let's look at that. Idolatry is a very seductive thing. It is seductive. It draws people quietly away from God and into idolatry, so much so seductively that you don't see it coming until it's there. Remember the high places in Israel, how they began, remember that? As an alternative place to worship Yahweh. Think of that. I'm gonna give you an alternative way to worship. You don't have to go to the house of God. Oh, you don't even need to go to that church anymore because they're doing too much. You don't need to go to that church because they want you to be too accountable. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. So I'm going to go and find me an alternative place to go where I can do what I want to do and live my life and be who I want to be in the kingdom. But you know what? Sometimes, most times, oft times, we need to sit our happy hips down somewhere and learn from the Lord and be taught, discipled. All of that stuff that's in us, that rebellion, that quiet rebellion, all of that behavior needs to be eradicated so that we can go on and do what God has called us to do. But if the seductive idolatry gets in there and begins to draw you out of where God has called you to be, you're going to be in a situation. Before you know it, you will be in a situation. And then you'll be too embarrassed to even go back and apologize because you're not living a humble life. So when we look at this, remember that high places in Israel began again as an alternative place to worship. The Jews who built these places still wanted to worship God, the God of Israel, but they wanted to worship him on their own terms. Now think of this, people. We worship God on his terms, not ours. But, you know, that one little compromise was the wedge that the enemy needed to pry their hearts away. What compromise is the enemy presenting to you today? That one little thing. What is the enemy presenting to you today? To try to draw you away from God. To try to say, you know, I don't need to go to that church. They doing too much. They too holy. They a cult because they're requiring accountability. Let me tell you something. The enemy will seductively seduce you out of where God has called you to be. And he'll use that whole thing about accountability. You don't need to be accountable to nobody but God. I'm gonna leave that right there. I'm gonna move on. So what happened? That one little compromise was the wedge the enemy needed to pry their hearts away. And before long, they were worshiping pagan idols. Each step that they took away from the word of God made the next one easier to take. Now, think about this. Each step that a person takes away from the will of God in their lives makes it easier to take the next step down a slippery slope. And it happens every day because you begin to justify why you did what you did. You begin to justify, you know, well, if they wouldn't have said that, then I wouldn't have did this. So now because I did this, now I'm gonna have to do that. A slippery slope. That's how it works for us too. Rarely will a Christian move from a faithful walk with Jesus in one day to complete rebellion. It's a slope. It's a step-by-step thing. And if we're not careful, people will end up in apostasy. And I'm going to talk about that the next time we get together. Once I'm done with this teaching, I'm going to talk about the state of the church and apostasy. But it's a slippery slope. It's not, the enemy is not going to throw you all into it at once. He's going to present step-by-step. Okay, now, I don't agree with the pastor said. Okay, I'm gonna stay home. I was offended. okay, I'm gonna go over here where they are loose in the church and there's no accountability and I can do what I want. I can call myself a prophet, apostle, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and I can get a position. I can do this and that, but there is no accountability. So now I feel good. Slippery slope. Okay. So if left unchecked, people of God, we have the potential of ending up in a bad place and saying, how in the world did I get here? How did I get here? Let me move on. I don't want to talk about us too much. I'm going to get back into this teaching, but it's relatable to where we are now. You know, when we begin to do things that are not lining up with the will of God, and we want to do our own will and things of that nature, it can quite quickly turn into idolatry. We don't have to bow down to a wooden statue to be guilty of idolatry, do we? We only have to set up high places in our lives, things that we substitute for obedience and devotion to the Lord. What high things have we set up? See, this is really serious. We're looking at Ezekiel, and we're also doing an examination of ourselves. Have we set up high places in our lives? You know, have we established our own ways of finding satisfaction, protection, and provision rather than relying on the Lord and His word? The Lord said that, you know, that He will keep us. Post that scripture, that I will keep you in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on me. If we keep our minds stayed on the Lord, our devotion to Him, He'll protect us. He'll keep us. He'll provide for us. But see, we're so used to man's way of doing things that we don't wait on God anymore. We don't wait on the Lord because we want to do it our way. And this is not Burger King. We're not having it our way. We're going to have it the Lord's way. So when you look at the the Hebrew word for idol is literally, now this is going to blow you away. You may already know this, but the Hebrew word for idol is literally dung god. And that's what we're talking about. D-U-N-G, little G-O-D, dung god. That is the literal translation of idol. So we tell ourselves that the waste product of our, you know, when we look at this, let me rephrase it. All of this stuff don't amount to a hill of beans that we're trying to do, that we're trying to set up an idol, that we're allowing people and things to be idols in our lives, and we don't want to do that. We want to allow God to be the Most High God. And so the things that we consume, whether lustful appetites, we want to become our own masters, we want to do our own things, we want to set up these high places. Those are our dung gods, our idols. That's what it means. Do we still have high places? We want to ask ourselves, what do you turn when you feel vulnerable? When you feel empty, when you feel hurt? Are we turning to people, food, places, shopping? What do we turn into? One of the things that we have to really do is we have to get in our prayer closet, and we have to make God our everything. We have to do what God has called us to do. Have you identified any high places? Have we identified any high places today? If we have, if we're turning to other things rather than turning to God in our time of need, we need to say, I need to tear that high place down. It needs to be taken down because it stands between me and God. I'm running to this more than I'm running to Him. I'm running to that more than I'm running to Him. I'm running to the phone. I'm running to the internet. I'm running to TV. I'm running to food. I'm running to alcohol. I'm running to weed. All of this stuff people run to instead of running to God is an idol, a dung god. Israel didn't want to remove their high places because they had it hard. They had hard, unbelieving hearts, and the high places were the constant feature of the land, which stood to condemn the people. So now the Lord declares he will remove them personally by bringing the sword against him, against them. Isn't that horrible? That I'm going to be so stubborn. I'm going to be so hard-hearted that there's going to have to be a situation occur to get me back to where I need to be. Now, specifically, what did God do? He used the Babylonians. He used that Babylonian army to accomplish that task. And that army moved through the land. They came upon the Jews worshiping at the high places. And as they engaged these groups in battle, the Lord gave his people over to the Babylonians. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus that we were not given over to the enemy when we could have, should have, would have been gone. Grace and mercy. The mercy of God allowed us. Jesus, when he paid the price, it allowed us to be here, to not be consumed, to not be killed, to not be up out of here. It was God's grace and mercy for many of us that were doing crazy stuff back in the day. But thank God for Jesus. So that army came in. The Babylonians, they came in, and the Babylonians were engaged against the people of Israel. This would be the third time that they had to march into the land to subdue the people. The third time. And they were so angry this time that they are determined to crush any and all opposition. And as they advanced, the army tore down every altar it found and killed those worshiping, those that were worshipers there. They killed them. The dead were left unburied. Eventually, their bones lay scattered around the altars where they once worshiped. How horrible is that? How horrible is that? When you look at the outcome, because they would not turn back to God, they would not, their hearts were hardened. They were doing what they wanted to do. Israel worshiped these idols, expecting to receive favor. When you go back and think about what we do and how we do it, are you doing something for God and you're expecting favor in return? We already have everything we need. We have the Lord. We have Jesus. We have salvation. We have everything that pertains, you know, to life and health for us. They expected that their idols to grant them fertility, abundance of crops, and protect them from their enemies. Because these were idols. It wasn't God that they were worshiping. They set up their own thing. They did their own thing. And then they were expecting, because they were totally devoted to these idols, that their idols would protect them. Your idol will not protect you. The only protection that we have is in Christ. Israel's idols were crushed and the people died. It didn't even have to be that way, but that's what happened. These so-called gods couldn't save them and they couldn't protect them. I'm going to stop right there and we're going to continue in this teaching. It'll be Ezekiel chapter 6. The second part, because it's quite intense. So I'm going to stop right there today. I bless you guys for coming in and, you know, sharing with me in this teaching and, you know, sitting here and listening, because I tell you what, God is good. So we're going to end it today. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming in. You have a great day. And of course, I am your host, Apostle Allison J. Cross, founder of Fire and Rain Ministries, also the Fivefold Network. God bless you and have a wonderful
week. That an awesome teaching. We look forward to you tuning in each week for more teachings from Apostle Allison J. Cross, founder of Fire and Rain Ministries. You can follow us on Facebook, Roku, the Fire Stick, Apple TV, iTunes, and more under the Fivefold Network. To contact the ministry, you can reach us at 252-764-5685 or email us at apostleajcross@gmail.com. God bless you and see you next time.